I want to first of all welcome you all to the post-Yul return to Torah Traga. Hopefully you all had a beautiful time, met each other, spent time with your Rebbeim, etc. Slichos is a very challenging time for many reasons. Number one, we're saying tefillos that we don't understand what we're saying. The words are not easy. I don't know anyone here has an English slichos. I happen not to have one, but if you have one, to follow along with the words while you're saying it takes a lot of time, and it'll take you, you know, an hour and a half, which everyone else takes 30 minutes, but at least you'll know what you're talking about. It's a very difficult time, slichos in the morning. It's also difficult because it's late at night. And for those of us who would like to function in the mornings, you know, myself and Mother Rebbeim, who went through Mabit Shemesh last night, we got back after 2 in the morning, and then we're up again at 6:45 minyan. It's very challenging. It's time of year, people get sick often. A lot of difficulties when it comes to the time of slichos. I want to take a few minutes right now, if I can, to let you understand better what this time of year is about. I'm going to focus on slichos, a little bit on slichos, but mostly about what we're doing right now in yeshiva, what our goals right now in the world, and how we're supposed to be using the slichos time period, and particularly slichos we're saying, to get close to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and to spend the next week and a half in the proper fashion that will let us enter Yom HaDin in the most appropriate way as well. Anyone has a phone in them, I'm going to ask you to put it away. I don't want to see your phones on you. Okay. Start with a quick story. For those of us who have a hard time connecting to the tefillah of slichos, which certainly includes me as well. The Baal Shem Tov one time, he was davening in a minyan, and he was known to have a very lengthy davening. He would daven for hours, shacharis. For hours, he had a lot of kavanos, a lot of things on his mind. He was davening the deepest of ways. No one ever out-davened the Baal Shem Tov. No one davened longer than the Baal Shem Tov, ever. One fateful morning, Baal Shem Tov was davening in a shul. As he finished wrapping his tefillin, he looked behind him, and there was a guy who was still davening. This guy didn't come in late. He saw him when he first walked in. He was there on time, and he was still davening. He decided, I have to understand what this guy's davening about. Who is he? What's on his mind? I want to better understand who's competing with me for the title of the longest davener of the morning. So he waited 20 minutes, a half hour, an hour. 2 hours later, the guy finishes, takes his tefillin and wraps it up. So there was over to the guy, but something over to him and says to him, explain yourself. Who are you? Let me hear about you a little bit. He says, no, I'm just a regular guy. I happen to be a carpenter. He says, that can't be your regular guy. You davened for 5 hours, chakras. That's not a regular guy. What's on your mind? He goes, nothing. He goes, I have no idea what I'm saying. Even actually, I daven, I just say the entire book. I don't know what I'm supposed to say every single morning. I can't figure out what is the morning prayer, the afternoon. I just say the entire book in the morning. Shendo's, you know, he smiles to himself, knowing he still holds the title of the top davener, you know, in the morning in chakras. But he says to, him, to this man, this carpenter, let me sit down with you and help you out a little bit. I'm going to tell you what parts are morning part of the davening, afternoon, evening, Shabbos, Hallel, I'll educate you on what's supposed to happen in davening. And he goes and he spends a lot of time with his carpenter, putting little pieces of paper, marking off certain spots. And after about a half hour, this guy gives Boston a big hug. You don't understand how much time you saved me. Thank you so much for helping me out in this fashion. And they go the separate ways. And as the Boston walks out of the room, out of the shul, down to wherever he's going next, this man is so thankful for realizing that he has back hours of his day that he didn't have beforehand. He opens the door up to leave the building, the shul, and a gust of wind comes and blows every single paper that he put in his spot out of the way. And he's watching his hours of his day slip through his fingers, and he collects all those pieces of paper, and he runs over to the Baal Shem Tov, trying to catch his attention, but he's too far ahead. Rebbe, Rebbe! He can't hear him. He says, I got to find him. I got to track him down. I have to figure out what I'm doing with myself. And he runs and he runs. And he finally sees the Baal Shem Tov turn around across a building. And he follows, goes across the same building. And Baal Shem Tov gets to a lake. Gets to a little river. And he's like, okay, thank God. I can track him down now. I can ask him where to put everything. Baal Shem Tov takes his jacket off the river, off his body. And he places it on the river, the Baal Shem Tov. He sits down in the jacket. And the jacket takes him over to the other side of the river. So this guy's like, what is going on here? I figure it must be like, you know, the Dead Sea. Like, must be, you float on it. Takes his jacket off, this guy, carpenter, puts it on the river, sits on the jacket, and the jacket takes him across the other side of the river. 2 minutes later, he's running, panting. Rebbe, Rebbe. Grabs Baal Shem Tov by the sleeve, turns around, says, Rebbe, Rebbe, you helped me so much this morning, and I'm lost. All the papers fell out. I don't know what I'm supposed to be saying. Shem says back to him, how'd you get here? He says, well, you know, I ran after you, I called you, you didn't listen. No, not that part. How'd you get across the river? Well, I saw what you did. You put your jacket down, you sat down on top of it, took it aside. Just did the same thing. Shem says to him, whatever you're doing and you're davening, just you keep on doing that. You're doing fine for yourself. 5 hours, it's worth it for you to daven. He had no idea what he's talking about for 5 hours every single morning. But he davened, saying to Kadosh Baruch Hu, I don't know what I'm supposed to be saying. I don't know what the tefillah even mean. But I believe in my heart, this is how I'm supposed to connect to you. I'm going to say them all. Now, would it be great for you to understand every davening? Of course it would be. To learn in advance of slichos, sure, grab a sitter. Get one with English and take some notes if you want before. But the bottom line is more than you're going to understand why you're davening, is understand why you're davening. Why am I supposed to take the next week and a half? And then the week afterwards, be up late at night, words I don't understand, be exhausted every single morning so that I can, for what? We say in, what Torah says, in Parshas Ekev, Va'aret asher atem ovrim shama l'rishta, eretz harim uvaka'ot. Perakid Aleph, Pasakid Aleph, the land that you're going to be passing in, referring to Eretz Israel, to inherit is a land of mountains and valleys. Limtara shemayim tishtemayim, you will drink from the sustenance of the heavens. There are hills, there are valleys, there's ups and there's downs. You drink from the sustenance of the heavens, from what God allows you to grow in and to gain. Ba'aretz, in this land, we're here right now. Listen to the next line. Eretz asher Hashem Elokecha doresh osa. It's a land that Hashem is seeking out, is constantly watching. Tamid inei Hashem Elokecha ba. God's eyes are always right here. In Eretz Yisrael, he's talking about. Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh. God's eyes are always right on us. But listen to the next few words. Me reshit Hashana. V'yad acharit shana. From the beginning of the year until the end of year. It's not grammatically correct. Reshit hashana until acharit hashana. It should say. It doesn't say that. But reshit hashana until acharit shana. What's going on over here? Here we read about the Eretz Yisrael. It's got hills, mountains. It's got valleys. The eyes of Kadosh Baruch Hu are always on it. You drink the water that Hashem rains down upon us. Everything sounds so inspiring. What's the last few words? Mereshit Hashana v'acharit Shana. Many of us have marked this year on our calendar. Shana Aleph certainly, and Shana Bet maybe even more so. Of a time to, you know, we graduated high school. We're now able to be more mature and more responsible, to work on things, l'shem shamayim. I don't have tests. I don't go to class so I can study. What's, Rebbe, is this on the test? Is this on the test or not? Do I have to write this down in my notebook or not? There's none of that. It's completely l'shem shamayim. And many of you, I hope, think to yourself, you know what? This is going to be the year. Hashana. This is it. This is going to be the year when I figure out that issue I'm working on, when I deal with this concern that I'm having right now. It's the year. But you know what happens oftentimes? It ends up just to be shana. It's just regular year again. We were just like we were in high school. Yeah, we learn more. Watch the same shows we watched. Follow the same fantasy teams. We always, different teams, we pick different drafts. Same waste of our time. Became the year. And it ends off, it's just another year again. And we had a great time. And we have great pictures. We made great friends. And we go back to where we came from with great memories. Our memory card in our mind is full of great moments. But you know what happens then? Your memory gets filled. This morning, Reichman and I were in the car together. Reichman just got a new phone. He's trying to figure out how to, you know, open up some storage and delete things. I'll delete that thing. I'll delete this thing. Next thing you know, you've opened up space, put new memories in. And you may still have some of those pictures of your year in Israel might still be there, but it's not Hashanah. It's one of many Shanim that you have. That would be a terrible crime for anyone who wants to spend or thinks to spend the year that way. Especially when you come in with the hope this becomes the year. This is the year I've been circling on my calendar. How do I make this the year? How do we do that? So first of all, what's about to happen? What's about to take place? The next few days, the next 2 weeks, the next months, what's about to happen? Shem Bekaz can share with you some of their own, you know, details, but I'll tell you my details from my 2 years in Israel when I was your age and the last 16 years I've been spending as a Rebbe in this yeshiva. What's about to happen? My neighbor, his name is Professor Chaim Frankel, who he's a professor. He worked in Purdue for 20 years about, and now he works in the Technion in Haifa. I was walking down with him from shul, and he told me the following story happened to him. I assume you all know what Dropbox is. I don't know what it is so well, but I know that it's on my computer. It says on Dropbox. I don't know what it does, but I know it's there. So he has tens of thousands of files on his Dropbox account. Years and years, decades of lectures for what he teaches every single year. And he was just adding new things to it, but he noticed it was going too slowly. So he started to delete the things that he had just added to make sure he could try to maybe get in a better Wi-Fi connection to help his Dropbox, you know, download or upload, whatever it's called, quicker. He tried it two or three different times, and each time it was so slow, he deleted it, and he tried again later on. When he finally figured out how to do it, he added certain files to his Dropbox. So when he went to recall some of his earlier files, he saw they were no longer there. And he's like, what's going on here? And he deleted them by accident. He deleted them. As he's deleting this command to bring his files to his computer, he deleted his old stored lectures. You're talking about decades of effort, decades of work. He couldn't find anymore. And he goes immediately and he Googles, as you should all do when you get stuck with anything in the world, Googled, what do I do? Dropbox, okay, my man. So he went to recent actions, they directed him recent actions, and you can cancel your prior action, you can restore what you deleted. And he hits restore, and he watches thousands of files come back. He sees his computer once again, like, filling up with, you know, files. He's like, ugh, I made it. And he felt to himself, this is like Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. You have in Shemayim, you have your portfolio in Shemayim, and maybe we've messed up a few different times. And all of a sudden, we do a Maisa of Tshuva. You restore your settings, and it just like, files, fills up our database. We're back. I said to him, it's a beautiful pshat, I said to him. I said, but the difference with you is that you felt a loss when you deleted your files. You panicked. You felt like, what am I going to do? Like, I can't find my files. Who panics? Who panics when they mess up here? Who feels like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? How am I going to fix the wrong that I did? Who can't sleep at night thinking about themselves? What have I done? How am I going to fix that problem I just did? Most of us, you make a mistake, go to bed that night, get over it. We're not panicking. The restore button doesn't work when you're not panicking. And as much as a beautiful mashal, the idea of tshuva and bringing things back again, and you're able to restore all those good things that you did and erase all those bad things, all the viruses on your computer, that only works when you feel a sense of panic. They tell the story of Shalom Shadron, who was the Maggid of Yerushalayim. His mother one time was describing to the family the Zman of Elul. She said the following thing to her family. And this, maybe I'm a few weeks too late to even tell this point to you, but we didn't start Rosh Chodesh Elul. We have about a week and a little bit left until we have the high holidays beginning. And tonight, we'll be standing in front of Kodesh Baruch Hu on Rosh Hashanah. About to hear the shofar blast to remind us who we are, what we're supposed to be doing with ourselves. Rosh Jones' mother described that when she was in World War II, and the planes of the enemies were flying overhead when she was in Europe, and she would hear the sound of the bombs, the missiles being dropped, the bombs being dropped out of the plane. You hear that shrieking sound. She said, I was almost as afraid. It reminded me of when the Chazan and Shul would announce Birchas HaChodesh, this coming month is the month of Elul. I was almost as terrified as to what would happen to me as when they announced in Shul, Chodesh, Rosh Chodesh, Elul, Yeh B'Yom, whatever it was. The panic I felt when the bombs were just reminding me of what I used to feel when I heard in Shul those words. Can you imagine that? It's crazy. It's hard to put ourselves in those shoes. But that's what it means. That attitude. What it means in Elul. I know we just got here. It's a little backwards. Here we are, starting a year off. And all of a sudden, some rabbi you barely know is telling you you should have a fear to the level of life-threatening. Like bombs dropping around you should be the fear that you have in a week from now. It's not really so fair. The truth is, our weeks until now were pretty much the same as they were months ago. We were in Israel, there were friends around us, but not much has changed besides. Okay, we have longer hours of learning. Our life and nighttime is pretty much the same. Our phones are used pretty much the same way. But when Slichos starts, for the Sfardim started already a few weeks ago, for the Ashkenazim, Slichos begin, and you know it's right around the corner. That sound over here, that siren sound, that's right now going on inside of us. It's a siren. Slichos is a siren. Well, you know what the words mean? You don't know what the words mean at all? When you say Hashem, Hashem, Kel Rachum V'chanun, it's a siren going off inside you right now. That means within a matter of days, I'm going to be pleading with God for my life, for my family's life, for everything. It's more than that. It's more than that. If I could even guarantee you, which I cannot, success in life for this coming year ahead of us, I can guarantee, which I can't, the ability to sit and take it seriously and learn well and connect in ways you only dreamed or maybe even never even dreamed that you could. It's more than that. Sefer Chinuch brings down, this past week's parsha, we have something called Mikra Bikurim. We offer the first fruits to HaKadosh Baruch Hu of our field. And we say a passage alongside that. And the Gemara in Sota says this passage has to be recited exactly as it's found in the Chumash. It's about expressing to yourself and to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the Kohen in front of you, how appreciative that you are for everything God gives you. But you do not say, thanks for the rainfall. You do not say, for the lush ground that gives me these fruits that I have in front of me. You don't say that. You know what you say? Who knows what you say when you walk in front of the Kohen with your fruits in hand? Who knows what you say? Thank you, Joey. McGillner. Arami Ovid Avi. Why? Why am I saying that? Pesach time, I understand. Pesach, I'm a freed nation. I'm a freed person. And we say the same passage because I'm representing and remind myself that I could have been lost. But I'm just bringing my fruits to the base of the Mikdash, to the Kohen. Why does that require me to go back in time? Oh, when I was younger, I mean, before I was even born. What is, okay, why is that shaykh to me? It's very simple. Because things go, they build off how they begin. When you begin in a good way, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there watching over you from the moments that you're born as a nation, then you always have to reflect back in that point in time to appreciate the new events that happen. L'mashal, at your bris. So your parents were so excited and so happy to bring you in the world. Who knows what's going to happen to you? What if you became a terrible villain one day? You became a murderer? Would it be such a simcha time? I wouldn't be so full of simcha anymore. They brought that into the world? Ouch. Like, shares my name. Looks like me. It's painful. But imagine the opposite. You become a Baal Chesed. You become a wealthy leader of your communities. And that birth, the bris that they celebrated, it's so much more full of simcha. When you start something off, you don't know how it's going to end, but I can tell you one thing for sure. We as Jews believe the way you start it makes a great impact on what happens afterwards. A great impact. I'll give you some examples. We have very unusual customs. Maybe you have it in your own home. We have like a Seder on Rosh Hashanah night. You eat the pomegranate, you eat the head of fish, the beets. What else am I missing? Apple and honey, thank you. Carrots, right? You should tear the gzar din, whatever it would be. We have all these things. Why are we eating them? It's a cute thing. I want to say, like, look, my kids should come home with little projects. You should have a sweet new year. No, no. We believe that the way you act in the beginning is what's going to be spilling over till the end as well. It lasts the entire year long. We're brought down. You shouldn't nap. Rosh Hashanah, at least not until after Chatzos, because then you have a sleepy year. You shouldn't nap. It's not only an old wives' tale. It's actually brought down. You shouldn't nap until after Chatzos, at least. You shouldn't get angry, it says. If you get angry at Rosh Hashanah time, you know what it means for the rest of the year? You have an angry year. We look at the Rosh Hashanah season. It is setting the tone for our future. You want to make Hashanah? You want to have the year? Then it has to be that right now we're getting in the mindset of having the year. For you to spend the next week in a way that's just not building up to what we're hoping for in a week from tonight means that you're not going to come in ready to go. It's a big challenge. Moshe Shapiro used to say, in this time of year, Sof ma'aseh v'machashava tchila. Whatever happens in the end, it all starts based on how you're thinking, on how you're strategizing, on how you're planning. This time of year, being the beginning, setting the tone for the future requires extra level of machshava, an extra level of planning. Responsibility that you have to yourself to make this not a shana, but ha shana, the year. When I was on the way home from Slichos last night, I don't have, my phone doesn't get these anymore, but someone in the van with me, I don't want to say who it was. So he told me, oh, Martavis Bryant is going to be cut by the Raiders?
Yeah.
By the Raiders. Anyone here drafted him on their team? Anyone drafted him?
Yeah, I did.
Sorry about that. Okay, tough. It's not the first time he's got in trouble with the law or with the NFL law. He was, he's got a problem with substance abuse. Poor him. He was suspended an entire year already, 2 years ago. And again, it's just looming around. If you think to yourself, you know how many millions of dollars he cost himself? Just stay off the weed. Chew a lot of nicotine gum or something else. What kind of a fool would waste millions upon millions of dollars, his own entire future, his career? Just like control yourself already. And we kind of look at that guy and we tisk him. Get your life in order. But I'll tell you a story, it's not like that at all. It had to do with me. No substance abuse involved. But maybe even worse than Martavis O'Brien did. 16 years ago. Maybe to the day, for all I know. But certainly to the last few weeks. If it wasn't today, it would be 2 weeks ago. I arrived in Israel, fresh off the plane from Florida. And we showed up near Elul time. And comes Elul, we all know the Ashkenazim. Certainly, as far as much of the Sephardic custom is, maybe the same custom. We blow shofar every single morning in Shacharis. Now, it's not like the same as it is in the Rosh Hashanah time. You have an expert tekiah, true tekiah, tekiah shvarim tekiah. You have the expert guy who's working on it, he's practicing. And these Shacharis minions, especially in these like shtibles, there's no dedicated, designated shofar blower. Whoever, you know, wants to try his hand at it, knock yourself out. Okay. There I am, davening in this minyan, this shtibul close to my house. And as the minyan is ending, so the shofar is like sitting on a table, and no one's coming up to grab it. So the gabbai picks it up. He starts to go around to each person, like pointing to him, shofar, new shofar. You want to blow for the tzibur? It's not a big deal. You know, each person's like, or like, I'm sick, my throat's hurting me. I'm watching person by person pass over this nice custom of blowing a shofar, you know, in Elul time. And it's getting awfully close to me. Now, I am this right out of America. I'm not a native yet. But, you know, I've dabbled in the past with shofar blowing. I've blown my fair share of Elul time, not the real time, but Elul time. I've blown a few. They get to me, I said, I'm not going to let it pass by. It's embarrassing to shofar. I'll do it. They get to the person 4 people away from me. Turns it down. 3 away from me. Turns it down. 2. Person before me. Turns it down. The gabbai sticks it in my direction. So I give one of these like, okay, like, all right. I offer to I offer to take it. And they put it down on my table, and it's like staring at me. I've never blown the shofar beforehand. It's like looking at me. And it's right now in Uval Etzion. By the time like Elena comes, I'm like, gosh, did the air go off in here? It's so hot. Like, what's going on? Like, my hands are like dripping. I'm like, what's happening? And I look at the air, it's, no, it's still blowing. I see my sitter is still like moving, the page is moving. I'm like, this must be redirected. I don't know. I can't feel anymore. And then like, yom yom, I don't know what day it was, but I remember like, my sitter was like moving in my hands. I couldn't keep it steady. And finally, my brother Levashim Ori goes, they finish to make the last part of Kaddish, and I pick up this shofar in my mouth, and I'm blowing it. Everything's like a trua. It's all like a big trua. I can't. I'm like shaking. I'm like, get yourself together, Schneider, you know? And there was a pause, like, what's he doing? Trua first. That's not how it goes. And finally, I get the courage, and I control myself, and I blow a passable tkiah shofar. Trua tkiah. You know, I like, thank goodness. I left shul. I'm like, what just happened to me? What am I panicking over? That I wouldn't blow shofar well on a Monday, Thursday, on a Tuesday? Like, so what? Why am I panicking? When the Ela comes in Yom Kippur, my hands are as dry as could be. I have no sense of panic. Why am I worried about embarrassing myself and people I don't even know at all? Because I blew a bad shofar one time? Like, who, really? Who cares? And I realized at that point in time how off my priorities are. I have a big problem. I'm nervous. How would people look at me? Because I don't blow a shofar well on a Tuesday morning in a shul that no one knows me anyways. But because Baruch Hu, I'm davening on Yom Kippur, and I'm just chilled out. I'm just jumping around, doing the singing songs, right, all the great tunes we have. And I'm not sweating. I have no fear whatsoever. I am in a much worse place than Martavius Bryant is. He was money. He lost money. Okay? His job, he paid him a lot of money, and he blew it, and he lost a ton of possible money he could have had otherwise. But what about me? God gives me a neshama, one neshama. And if I blow that one, what's my next chance? It's much more serious than losing my career. This is what I was created for. And my mindset is so off. It's terrible. You know why? Because I didn't prepare for that period of time properly. You need to put yourself in the best situation for success. Slichos is a time that is long. And it's late. And if you want to have a chance to do this well this week, to build up to Rosh Hashanah, the following week, Shai Mitzvah, to build up to Yom Kippur, you have to be in your prime state of focus, of ability, of attention. They have these rules they have when it comes to, let's say, like a Super Bowl. That you have to make sure you eat certain foods before you play. You can't go out before you play. You have to have certain rules to get you in the... This is the game of your life. For us to have a chance at making this Hashanah, the year... This next week and the one that follows it has to be a week that we have planned properly and well for. And the yeshiva will not take any blame for putting you in a spot that's not the best for your time period for the next 2 weeks. With that in mind, every single person is in yeshiva for Slichos. There is 12:30. You're all here. You want to go to bed because it's late for you? You want to daven and sleep in the morning in the shul? In the morning, you can. 12:30, no one's off campus. Every single person looks at this year as Hashanah. We will not have an R record in Shemayim. You'll do nothing wrong, I'm sure. I will not have it that you can't wake up in the morning and be at your A game for Slichos. We won't have that. Not an R record. It will not be this week or the following one that anybody will be off campus after the time of 12:30, every person is checking in with the madrich. And the reason why is because you have to understand this is not a stam week. This is the week. This is the week of the year that you're about to have. And the next week afterwards is Aser Yemei Teshuva, of showing ourselves to God who we really should be and who we can be. You will not make the same mistake I made 16 years ago, where your mindset is in a million different places, but the place where it's supposed to be. Our job in the next 2 weeks before we get to Yom Kippur, a week and a half really, is to be at a level when we walk into the Beis Medrash with a level of confidence that I am building up to make this the year of my life. I will not settle for Shana. I want Hashana. And when you get to Slichos and when you daven, again, when you daven at nighttime here at 12:40, which I recommend highly for those of you who are awake at that time, or it's too late at night for you to have a functioning day, you want to go the next morning at 7, whatever time it is, 7:10, whatever time it's going to be at, you can look at the schedule, whichever one you want, it's your choice. But you'll do everything in your power, and you'll ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem, Hashem, Kel Rachum Bechanun, merciful God, give me the week that I need right now. This is going to be the year I circled off my calendar 5 years ago. Make this the year for me. I'm doing everything that I can in my power to make this happen. If you do your job well, then when we sit together, we stand together in about 8 days from now, a week from tonight, people are dressed in their beautiful clothing, and they're singing the Zmiros and the songs of Rosh Hashanah time, and you hear the shofar blast, and you close your eyes when you hear that cry of the shofar. The tkiya, the shvarim, the trua tkiya, that's a cry. It's an uncontrollable sob. Help me. I don't know what to say even. You know, the shofar blast means I don't know what words I'm saying. I don't have words to say. For us, Slichos is the beginning of that process. I don't know what the words even mean. I know Hashem, Hashem, Kel Rachum Mechanon means. I'll say that butler part out. But every other part besides that, I don't know what I'm saying. I just know one thing. Is this is a plea to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let this be the year. Not a year. The year where everything else changes. I wake up in the morning and I feel proud to be alive. Like I matter. I make a difference. I wish you all a powerful week of Slichos. A week where we take care of ourselves, of our body and our soul. We build up with a dream and a hope in mind. Mr. Shem, we should be Zocha and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur to merit for a sweet new year. To the Beis Medrash.